Welcome to Directions Media's Directions on the News for Tuesday, September 4th, 2007. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor of Directions Magazine, and I'm joined by Joe Francica, Directions Media's Editor-in-Chief. Each week we explore a topic of interest to the geospatial community, and this week we want to look ahead to the remaining months of 2007 and share some expected events, including satellite launches, regulatory decisions, and business rollouts that may impact our work in geospatial. Let's have a look into the future. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. With ArcGIS Online, you can combine ready-to-use maps, reference layers, and functional tasks with your local data to support your GIS work. Save time and benefit from on-demand GIS content. Learn more about ArcGIS Online at www.esri.com/directionsmag.
I combed back over some of the announcements of what we might expect in the coming months, and there are a few things that are happening that I think we sort of want to put on our calendars. Some we can actually put on the calendars, others are going to happen sort of when they happen. But one date to get on the calendar is Tuesday, September 18th. That's the launch of Digital Globe's Worldview 1 from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. That's exciting for a couple of reasons. One, it's always interesting to track a launch of something that's going to have some bearing on you, which most of us, I think, agree this would for those of us in the geospatial community. The other interesting dates to keep in mind here are the expectation that the first imagery will be available within a month of launch, so sometime in October, and to bear in mind that this is going to be the first commercial satellite up there that's going to be producing half-meter imagery. What kind of impact should we expect that to have once it gets airborne and hopefully things go well and the sensor's working and so forth?
I think it can have a significant impact for those who have been waiting for a long time for this type of high-resolution imagery. However, I think maybe for the majority of users, it may not have a much impact at all. Certainly, in some of the sectors like engineering or surveying, the impact might be felt more immediately for those people who are demanding that type of spatial resolution. I think a few of us will be on the sides watching, is this going to be of value? Am I willing to pay for this?
So should we look at this like the next edition of the iPod where people have to rush out and get it right away? I mean, it takes some time for them to build up an archive of imagery, certainly.
I think it's going to be up to Digital Globe to be out there promoting it and to position where this type of spatial resolution fits in a particular geospatial workflow. So, yeah, the imagery is nice. It's great. I can see things very clearly. But what are the industries that are going to pay for it? Where are the ones that are going to be most beneficial for it? I think that's yet to be defined. You know, we're always pushing the envelope on better and greater and higher resolution, but the reality is there are only certain markets for this. For others, lesser resolution will certainly do.
Another event that we can expect hopefully this fall is the determination of the European regulators regarding the acquisition of TeleAtlas by TomTom. And those are both European companies, so that decision will be made over there based on their laws. And I've sort of heard two different takes on this. One is no big deal. It's going to, you know, there won't be any big issue. The folks at the Telematics Journal took the other side, saying, and I quote here, "It's highly possible that the TeleAtlas and TomTom combination may not pass regulatory approval." So that one's up in the air, and whether it goes one way or the other, it would certainly change the face of geospatial.
Yeah, that's an interesting comment. My perspective is TomTom is really a different type of company. I mean, it acquired TeleAtlas obviously for its own use and in its own consumer electronics workflow. The downfall of that, the bad side of that is, you know, are they going to restrict more commercial uses of that database? And I can certainly see why the regulatory agencies might, you know, raise an eyebrow at that. So, yeah, that's something to watch for sure. I'm not sure that, you know, the geospatial community is all up in arms about this acquisition. I kind of think, it's okay. It's nothing great. We'll still have access.
Right, but they don't make those decisions.
Yeah, that's
yeah. We'll be watching. A whole set of technologies sort of appeared from about June in through the summer that sort of started popping up. A lot of them having to do with data sharing and data availability. And two of those, just to name them, are Leica's Titan and GeoCommons from 40S1. And both of them had quite a lot of coverage. I think there was a lot of interest in the concepts and the evolution of these kind of solutions. And my sense is it's gotten very, very quiet. I haven't heard about users of those solutions yet. We've had a couple of updates from Leica on new functionality in Titan, but I'm not sure that these sort of jumped up and took hold right away. Maybe it's going to be a longer-term process until those become parts of workflows of people in geospatial.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything pop up on my radar screen on either of those initiatives. Now, you know, we're kind of in a lull in terms of the time of year, people getting back from vacations, and maybe the organizations themselves are waiting to pop a little stronger after this summer lull. So it could be that, you know, we're waiting for something else in terms of timing.
I guess the other sort of quiet situation that I'm keeping an eye on, you can't go a day without hearing about new functionality in Google Maps and Google Earth and mashups and enhancements. And Microsoft similarly is making quite a bit of news with Virtual Earth, which brings me to other players in that space, Yahoo and MapQuest. Now, Yahoo's had all kinds of changes in management. There were a few more announced just today before we head into the holidays for Labor Day. I keep sort of waiting for news from either of those organizations to pop up. I guess I could put ask in that same space. Are they going to be able to get around all this hype that Google and Microsoft are demanding? Can they get developers? Can they get some action in local search? Can they bring out some kind of killer app that's going to send us all flocking to the tools and APIs? And I'm wondering if anything is going to happen, again, as we get into the more active time of the fall.
I have two takes on this. One is these portals, I think, are striving for radically different positioning in the market. Take it from the baseline that whenever you look at one of these mapping portals, and I've got three of them open on my screen right now, there's not a lot of differentiation between the mapping content. Yes, some of the imagery is a little different in terms of, you know, the currency. But I think that companies like Yahoo and MapQuest are targeting a different type of an audience or a different type of functionality than a Microsoft or Google. And what I mean is that I see Yahoo and MapQuest focused a lot on the online advertising, a lot on the online travel and coordination. I see Google as being very focused on content search. Now, as an example of this, I've been wrestling the last day with whether to move from Google, whether to use move from my Outlook to Google Mail entirely. And some of the things I was looking for was, can I link some of my calendar appointments to a map? And indeed, there's a nice little functionality to do that. So I think we're looking at the war on the desktop at this point. And can some of these mapping portals link to other properties or other aspects of their business to make a go of this mapping? And we know that Yahoo is very focused on making Yahoo Maps more a part of its other properties, real estate, travel, search, and whatnot.
Right.
So I think we're really looking at a war for the desktop. We know that Microsoft knows that they're deeply entrenched with a war for the desktop. And we know that Google is out there promoting their desktop applications. This integration of technology is really where the battleground is, and Maps is just a part of that.
Right. So it sounds like we can expect maybe some different positioning as we move forward from all of those different sides.
And I think they got to make it pretty clear. If somebody wants to win this battle, they've got to make it really clear where their positioning is and promote what the integration is with their apps. Because just looking at the maps right now and the hybrids, and you know, it's more or less the same game all the way around. So the war is for mobile. The war is for advertising and for desktop.
Great. What events are you looking for in the next couple of months?
So one of the things I wanted to focus on was, as we get closer to the rollout of things like Microsoft's new spatial database and the Katmai release, are we going to see any rumblings this fall between the primary database players, IBM, Oracle, and Microsoft? We haven't heard much. I think that, you know, this is a major battle that's going to spring up in the geospatial arena. We know that Oracle Spatial has been out there for many years. We know that there are many users of Microsoft SQL Server that are probably waiting for that database to be more spatially enabled. And IBM still kind of dark on all of this. Yeah, they've got a module here and there. They've got a few key customers. But for my money, this is a battleground. And if nothing else wakes these guys up, it's the mapping portal business that ought to wake them up, because they know how popular that is. Now we see major enterprises and IT players really focusing on location intelligence. And the major database providers ought to be waking up and enabling their apps. We know that Oracle is doing that, but we got to see more of this happening. And the fall, I think, is the perfect opportunity to start, you know, making some fireworks about what's going on.
And I think there's one other aspect to think about. I'm lucky enough to be heading out to the FOSS4G conference, the Open Source for Geospatial. And my suspicion is that there's going to be an awful lot more talk about spatially enabled open source databases this year than there has been in the past. In the past, the focus has really been on those solutions for the internet, for internet mapping, some up-and-coming solutions for the desktop. But now I think there's an awful lot more discussion about the database. So there would be another player to weave into this updated positioning, perhaps. What else have you got on your list?
Yeah, the only thing I would bring out once again is we haven't heard more about the GOI launch, and I should have brought this up when we were talking about Digital Globe. They've been kind of in the dark, and they keep saying, you know, it's October, it's late fall, you know, there's no set time now for that. So if they want to make a play relative to what Digital Globe is doing, this is the time to do it and give people at least some dribbling out some basic information about what's going on. I know that they are up against a time window, I think, versus some military launches that take precedence.
That's all the time we have for today's topic. ESRI, I would like to remind you that ESRI's European User Conference will be held in Stockholm, Sweden on September 26th to the 28th. Come share ideas, meet with technical staff, and be inspired at the European GIS Community's must-see event. For more information, visit www.esri.com/directionsmag. We'd love to hear your thoughts about what you're looking forward to geospatially this fall or on any other topic. Please email us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.